With SDPB News, I'm Patrick Williams. A spokesperson for the South Dakota Board of Regents confirms the intent to fire a USD art professor. The move is in response to the professor's post on his personal social media account in the aftermath of the Charlie Kirk assassination. SDPB's Jackson Dirks reports.
University of South Dakota School of Fine Arts professor Michael Hook's Facebook post began circulating on Friday, with Republican political leaders taking issue with his comments. The expletive-laden post said, while Hook was previously unfamiliar with Charlie Kirk, the professor understood him to be a, quote, hate-spreading Nazi. The post went on to question where, quote, all this concern was with other shootings, including the murders of Minnesota State Representative Melissa Hortman and State Senator John Hoffman earlier this June. Hook's faculty page on the University of South Dakota website have since been removed. The initial post and Hook's social media pages have also been deleted. Cherie Mortensen is the director of communications for the state's Board of Regents, the governing body over the state's public university system, which includes USD. She confirms the board has begun the process by filing an intent to terminate Hook.
Yeah, so that decision really came down to our Board of Regents. We have a 9-member board, and ultimately they made that decision.
Mortensen provided a statement from the BOR that says it's important that employees, quote, promote constructive dialogue based on mutual respect. When faculty and staff discuss or write about issues of public concern, they must recognize their roles as educators and their standing in their communities, which brings added obligations. She confirmed that Hook was fired under the SD Board of Regents Policy 448, which addresses faculty remediation. While the section doesn't specifically address personal social media usage, it points to faculty speaking and writing as private citizens. While some question if the firing is a violation of Hook's First Amendment rights, others, like Governor Larry Roden and State Speaker of the House John Hansen, applauded the termination. Both took to social media to express their opinions on Hook's post Friday afternoon. Mortensen declined to answer if the Board of Regents expects a lawsuit or if pressure from either Hansen or Roden impacted the decision. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks.
Republican State Senator Casey Crabtree is officially announcing a bid for South Dakota's lone seat in the U.S. House of Representatives. Crabtree works as the Economic Development Director for Heartland Energy in Madison. He previously held Majority Whip and Majority Leader positions in the state Senate. He's led the way on state legislation, including stronger sentencing for fentanyl distribution and banning sanctuary cities in South Dakota. Crabtree was also the prime sponsor of a highly contested 2024 bill dubbed the Landowner's Bill of Rights that voters overturned in the referred law process last November. Crabtree now joins Attorney General Marty Jackley in the race for the Republican primary next June. Across the aisle, Democrats Billy Mawinney and Nikki Gronley are also competing for the seat. The general election is November 2026. September is School Attendance Awareness Month, and while some school districts earn blue ribbon distinctions for their work on keeping classrooms filled, Rapid City has struggled. SDPB's CJ Keene has more.
This month, the Rapid City Area School Board reported on recent attendance numbers and a notable decline for the district. New Superintendent Jamie Jo Thompson presented the figures at the meeting. The data goes back to 2024.
The first chart shows that our overall district enrollment has decreased by 267 students from the same time last year. However, you can also see that our enrollment has increased in several schools.
That enrollment increase is primarily in elementaries that are already at or near capacity. This additional facility strain comes as the district is considering a bond issue vote that could support costly infrastructure projects for schools like Valley View, which has the highest enrollment increase in the district. However, attendance is a different challenge. Thompson says while she sees some victories, she wants full classrooms every single month.
All of our elementary schools have attendance rates above 90%. At this time, only North Middle School, Central High School, and our alternative programs have attendance rates that are below 90%. Our overall district attendance rate is 92.87%. That is 0.27% below last year's attendance rate, which means that if we do not intervene, it's likely to drop below where it was last year.
With that in mind, Thompson says now is the time to prioritize attendance.
A student who can't read on grade level by third grade is 4 times less likely to graduate by age 19 than a child who does read proficiently by that time.
The district is launching an attendance awareness campaign to help combat lower numbers. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Rapid City.
The Rapid City Municipal Government is seeking public comment for the rail yard relocation plan. The current Campbell Street overpass site has been in place for decades, but sits at a major intersection and highway off-ramp utilizing bar crossings that stop traffic. City long-range planner Kip Harrington says in a statement this location is not ideal and relocation could be the best option. The public can submit comment at a booth set up at Canyon Lake Park from 5 to 8 p.m. tonight. Governor Larry Roden, along with several other governors around the country, signed a letter asking Congress to enact legislation they say would address threats from unmanned aircraft systems, commonly known as drones. In the letter, Roden and 30 other governors expressed concern over recent incidents of drone intrusion at military bases, prisons, and other critical infrastructure around the country, saying these systems are being used for espionage, stalking, and other types of wrongdoing. The letter acknowledges the value of drones in public safety, disaster recovery, and environmental monitoring, but they say rapidly evolving technology requires immediate action to address vulnerabilities. More specifically, the governors ask that Congress enact legislation to grant states legal authority to detect and mitigate drone threats, while also clarifying the coordination between state and federal authorities on this issue. The letter also commended President Donald Trump for 2 recent executive orders pertaining to drone use. While often seen as a uniquely rural problem, advocates have identified a food desert in the heart of Rapid City. SDPB's CJ Keene has more.
The Black Hills Area Community Foundation commissioned the report from the Augustana Research Institute last year. The assessment found 1 food desert in the wider North Rapid neighborhood and a 2nd, smaller food desert west of the Gap. Nicole Schlebaugh is the foundation's strategic communications manager.
There's a clear need for more charitable resources, specifically food pantries that are open to anyone in need of support after 5 p.m. or on the weekends, especially in the areas of greatest need.
That's not the only need, though, as resources are only valuable if they're accessible. That makes strong public transit networks part of the solution as well.
Food resources are really an open door to, I think, stabilizing services. It's not just about that immediate basic need of food. So it's important that everyone has consistent and reliable access. You know, we don't want people to be spending a disproportionate amount of their time coordinating logistics of systems of support, transportation, and their basic needs.
The area most in need, Schlebaugh says, is North Rapid, specifically northwest of downtown between North Street and I-90.
75% of those residents live at least a mile from a grocery store. The poverty rates range from 27 to 33%, which is significantly higher than Rapid City as a whole.
Schlebaugh encourages anyone interested in assisting to contact the Black Hills Area Community Foundation directly. Figures from the report can be found online at sdpb.org/news. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Rapid City.
Flags at the state capitol are being flown at half-staff today in honor of former state legislator Karen Soley. Soley served in the State House of Representatives from 2013 to 2018, representing District 15 in Sioux Falls. While serving in Pierre, Soley sponsored a bill that led to the establishment of the Government Accountability Board. Outside of politics, she served as a pastor in the Lutheran Church. Having served in congregations across Minnesota and South Dakota, lawmakers around the state are expressing their grief for Soley's passing while remembering her legacy in the House. In a post on Facebook, Sioux Falls Senator Jamie Smith said, quote, "Karen was a true servant leader and person of great integrity. Her perseverance led to the passage of ethics legislation that increased oversight in Pierre, a constant reminder that we are here to do the work of the people." Soley was 77 years old. Flags will remain at half staff until sunset. Students from South Dakota Mines have been working with Ellsworth Air Force Base on solving various problems the base faces. These students and base officials will discuss their projects at the Fall Steam Cafe tonight at Hay Camp Brewing. Adeline Wilson is a graduate student studying engineering management. She was part of the team that assisted aircraft maintainers with developing more efficient methods of safely painting parts of airplanes. She spoke with SDPB's Kara Hetland about her team's solutions.
So our project came directly from Ellsworth Air Force Base, and it was that they were having issues painting sections of specifically the B-2 ones is what we were using as our test, as our test project. And so they were unable to paint some of these sections on the planes because they were either too big, they couldn't be removed off the plane, or they were too difficult to reach for these users, these paint maintainers. And so they needed to be able to be in an enclosed area where the painting couldn't cause issues for the environment as well. If that was contaminants, maybe it was escaping outside of the hangar itself. So currently they're using a system called the Tent and Vent system, and it requires a lot of manpower to set up and take down, and it's pretty time consuming. When we came up with our solution, it was, as engineers, we tend to want to find a physical solution that we can test. We actually ended up coming up with the solution for the process itself, because after discussing with some of our stakeholders, that was maybe a technical sergeant, captain, people who were interacting with this tent and vent system, maybe it wasn't a problem for them. Maybe the system that they already had was enough. But then other stakeholders mentioned, okay, we're having issues with contaminants. And so we as a team actually went back and then looked at their initial problem statement of what they gave us. And then for our solution, because we did do this over the course of a semester, not a year, we came up with a solution for the process itself and then ways that they can go forward for the next step. If they were to implement some different mechanics for the tent and vent system. So we didn't build anything just for time's sake, but we did resolve some of their miscommunications between departments to come up with a better process. There's a lot that honestly I will take from this project in that process of working with the team, with the stakeholders. Being a computer science major, that was what I spent 5 years doing. I learned a lot of technical processes. How do we start our project? How do we get to the final solution? Something that's tangible. So as an engineering management major, it's going to be looking outside of what's directly in that tunnel, looking outside of that box. How do we solve some of these problems before they become a problem? How do we have the communication between higher ups and what we're seeing as engineers? How do we identify risks? Maybe could be that problem. How do we go in and see these hangars and these areas, have that conversation face to face, coming up with questions of, this doesn't quite make sense to us. Can you explain it to us? Coming up with small solutions too in that process. Even if it wasn't that we were going to build it in our time sense, we have an idea of what the next steps are, and that's what we can produce to the Air Force Base. Documentation, different prototypes. We as a class actually sat down, we hand drew a couple things. We actually used artificial intelligence to come up with some mock-ups. So we could see some process. And then a lot of people in our class, in my team specific, we had different strengths in different spots. So for me, as a computer science major, how do we automate some of this, these processes so we can keep these workers safe? Whereas another student was better at the mechanical aspect. How do we build this? How do we account for teardown and setup? In an easy and timely manner with less manpower.
Adeline Wilson is a part of the STEAM Cafe tonight at 6 p.m. at Hay Camp Brewing in Rapid City. Other projects by students looked at data management, communication strategic plans, and counter-drone assessments. I'm SDPB's Patrick Williams. And that is your daily news update. Be sure to check back here Monday through Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. You can follow us on social media as well, so be sure to check out SDPB's Facebook, Instagram, and X pages. Thanks for listening.